Steve Olson will never forget the night of June 25, 1998. He was working the overnight shift at Minnesota Power's control center when something went very wrong.
I really wasn't sure exactly what was going on at the time, but I did know it was serious. I knew it was something bigger than Minnesota Power. Within, I think, a matter of a minute or two, we had a half a dozen lines opening.
The open lines meant the electric grid was breaking apart. The grid connects Minnesota Power to 8 states and 3 Canadian provinces. Lightning strikes in Wisconsin, 200 miles away, caused the breakup. Over 40,000 people lost power. John Hino is a spokesman for Minnesota Power. He says that kind of situation is one step away from a regional blackout.
Normally, this operation is designed to work together so that neighboring states and neighboring utilities can support each other. But when you get into that situation, it just breaks up into pieces. And within the pieces, there's no guarantee that the power plants that are online in that area are going to be sufficient to handle the load that's left.
The near miss convinced Minnesota Power to do something to shore up the weak link in the regional electric grid. The Duluth-based company joined with Wisconsin Public Service to propose a 345-kilovolt transmission line from Duluth, Minnesota to Wausau, Wisconsin. It would tap into cheap coal and hydropower from western Minnesota and Manitoba. Hino says the new link would lighten the load on existing lines and make service more reliable.
With all of these sources to the north and the west, and you have the Twin Cities area, and you have Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago to the south and east. And so there's this general day in and day out tendency for the power to be flowing from the north and the west to the south and the east.
The plan has attracted a lot of opposition along the proposed route. 8 counties and over 50 local governments have gone on record against it. Opponents worry about property values, loss of farmland, and health issues. At a recent meeting in Superior, Wisconsin, nearly 200 angry people showed up to confront Minnesota Power officials.
Two of the three proposals through that area run through our place. We sunk our life savings into it, and we thought we'd be in control of what happened. Lo and behold, who are we to know?
As far as I'm concerned, this is a step backwards. It's a dinosaur. We're looking at smaller, leading-edge technologies that are more adaptable to local generation.
I have a very nice neighbor, and the line is going across his land. And he said to me, if it comes across my land, I'll shoot him.
Some Wisconsin farmers oppose the line because of problems they're having with other electric lines. Debbie Byrell says ground currents have made her cows sick. That's reduced milk production and made it harder to keep the business going. She's also worried about her family's health.
I worry about my kids because they're in the barn. You know, I mean, they're here helping us. And I think it'll put us out of business. Not that we'll want to quit, but I think it will finish us, yeah.
Power company officials say ground currents are caused by improper wiring or local distribution lines, not large transmission lines. But environmentalists question the need for the line. Chris LaForge sells wind and solar electric generating systems. He says utilities could avoid building expensive power lines by using alternative systems.
It's a perfect match. Distributed photovoltaic generation on the rooftops of large buildings can meet peak air conditioning demand because the electricity gets made right when you need it.
Power companies say there's great potential in alternative technologies, but the current need is acute. Jim Loke is the chief electrical engineer at the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. That agency has the authority to approve the line.
Our electric system in Wisconsin is growing at around a 2 to 3% per year rate, and that means that we need 200 to 300 megawatts of additional supply resources every year as long as that load keeps growing. And that's why I say part of the equation is energy conservation and demand side management. We feel strongly that the consumer needs to conserve energy and use it as wisely as possible.
Hearings are scheduled this month in Minnesota and this summer in Wisconsin. If approved, construction could start in September 2001. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Stephanie Hempill.